TalkZone.com.
TalkZone presents The League of Dads, featuring Christopher Smith, the show that helps fathers know their legal and constitutional rights and helps them with custody and child support issues. Here's your host for The League of Dads, Christopher Smith.
Thank you. Thank you for sitting with me for another edition of The League of Dads Talk Radio. Talk Zone. I would like to welcome you all to 2011. I know I had a good holiday season, kind of got beat up with the snow. I am still a little bit under the weather. Had the flu and a cold most of the holiday season, but I'm getting through it and I'll be all right. What we do every week about this time, are we going to stick to format? I am going to tell you today's topic of the show. Today's topic of the show is going to be children and government. In between broadcasting, between the weeks that we broadcast, I do a lot of talking to individuals as well as listening to a lot of talk radio show myself, and I listen to a lot of programs that is talked about in other formats. And when I do that, it actually gives me some ideas to share with you all people, because the League of Dads radio show is a family-based format. And I think, as well as us, the problems that us fathers have, I think I need to start touching bases on family issues and in its whole. The first email I'm going to get to and is going to be from a gentleman named Parrish, and Parrish is from Baltimore, Maryland. And Parrish says, "It's very good, the things that you are doing. I wish you all the best in your business adventures. I have a question for you. How did you get started?" That is a nice question, but I don't, there's not a lot of clarity on what exactly Parrish is asking. He's asking me, how did I get started? I'm going to assume what he means is this format here, the League of Dads. As I told you all in the past, I had no idea where my life was going. I got invited to this arena with child support. I went into this arena assuming that all the good deeds that fathers do would give some type of character credit, when it absolutely didn't. It wasn't until I then went to school for law that I started to get an understanding of law, and it wasn't until I started sovereign law studies in which I found out the profits that courts gain when a disgruntled mother runs to the court system and asks them for help. So what Parrish is asking me, it could be a broad range of things that he's talking about. And like I said, I'm just going to assume he's talking about this thing here. Far as the radio aspect of it goes, like I stated before, I published a newsletter. That newsletter is called The Struggles of Man. I distributed that newsletter, and someone up in upstate New York got me a copy of that newsletter, invited me to talk on his radio show. When I was on that individual's radio show, someone else invited me on their radio show. When I did that radio show, someone else offered me an opportunity, should I say, to produce a radio show for me. I declined that radio show due to the fact that I knew nothing of radio at that time, and I don't care nothing about dollar amounts. I need to understand what I'm getting involved in. So Parrish from Baltimore, Maryland, I do hope that answered your question. Thank you for listening to the show. And if you want to get back to me and send me a more in-depth question as to what it is exactly you're talking about, hey, I'm willing to look out for your email, and I'll give you a clear answer to your question. Okay. The next email is from Danny, and Danny is from New York. And Danny asks a question. He says, "What should I do? I have my child and my mother, and the child's mother will not let me claim the child on my taxes." He also states, "I pay child support, and I have the child a decent amount of time during the year. What should I do?" Well, Danny, I'm going to tell you like I tell a lot of people. And what I tell a lot of people, a lot of fathers actually come to the League of Dads with that same question. I also had an individual that obtained custody of his child from the mother, and one of the mother's requirements by giving the father custody of the child is she wanted to continue to claim the child on her taxes. That situation, let's just say this, family court does not govern that situation. The IRS governs that situation. If you have the child 6 months and one day, you have the child the majority, most of the time of the year. So it doesn't go by a court order, custody support, custody order. It goes by, well, in fact it does, but whichever parent has that child, the majority, most of the time, and most of the time is 6 months and one day. That's what they count. If you remember, some time ago, I was telling you about an individual that had his child 177 days out of the year. Because he had his child 177 days out of the year, he was not eligible to claim his child on income taxes because it did not exceed 181 days. 6 months is 180 days and one additional day. Gave that individual the majority of the time with the child. Okay, so Danny from New York, I hope that answers your question. If you have anything else that you want to talk to me about or if you want to give me a call, please do. You can send me another email because that is the method in which you used. If you have any other questions for me, Danny, please send them to me. And once again, and thank you for listening to the show, and please continue to do so. This next email is from a woman named Marcia. Marcia is from Orlando, Florida. And it says, I understand where you and your organization is for the good of us. You're absolutely right with all the things that you're saying. I have never heard the song, Is Your God a Dog by Public Enemy. I listened to it over and over again, and it's cool. What Marcia is talking about is probably the last time we broadcast. The topic of that, I was talking. I had a special guest call in at the time, very good friend of mine, Mr. James Lewis. And I was asking, is your God a dog? And I had a couple of people asking me to get more in depth with the meaning of where that was going. Because when you say, is your God a dog? I think a lot of people just heard that and I know the song and I know what it means. And I'm just going to get in depth with it a little bit more. Basically, what Public Enemy is saying, is your God a dog? Meaning, whatever you look up to. And it doesn't necessarily mean our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that. It means what do you worship? A lot of people have people that they look up to. They have certain things that they worship. A lot of people worship money because they need it. I understand it. But a lot of people worship some type of clothing. Where I'm from, the neighborhood where I'm from, it seems like individuals in this rap game is the biggest worshipers of my of what I'm seeing. My generation is turning into history. Gave us civil rights leaders, but nowadays it is rap stars, and these guys that with the tattoos and with the violent lyrics in their songs and contents is really having a lot of individuals going about their everyday life in the wrong manner. We are now seeing on a grand scale gangs growing and a lot of more people getting abducted into gangs for whatever reason. This is what's going on in the community where I'm from. This is what they look up to as their God. So when Public Enemy say, is your God a dog? That's basically what he's asking. What is it that you look up to? What is it that you worship? And is it a dog? Is it something bad? In that song, he was talking about Tupac Shakur and one notorious B.I.G., Christopher Wallace. He was talking about these individuals, and in that song, these individuals was worshiping the crime life. I went to a lot, I visited a lot of churches in my time, and I often hear a lot of pastors talk about their, the life that they lived prior to finding God. And what these individuals say in church is that this is how they used to live, and they found God. Now they found a new, they found a new aspect and a new, see a new outlook on life. But when you look at all these rap songs that are out today, you find individuals, they accept all the wealth and all the fame that comes with this lifestyle, but then they continue this reckless logic of life and they put it in their records. So basically it continues to go on. And basically what Public Enemy was saying in that song was these two individuals, probably the two biggest icons in the rap arena, when they became famous, they did not then turn around and say, don't be like me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Biggie Smalls, his thing was, I'm ready to die. I'm life after death. Tupac started to go into the Illuminati and all the death things and Machiavelli and all this stuff. Individual that disappeared when he died or something like that. I don't follow that, but that is what he decided, that's the way he wanted to go. He wanted to take his fame that way. And when I talk about that, I've talked about that over the years, and basically I'd say this. When you talk about bad things, you're out of here. God is going to get you up out of here. So, Marcia from Orlando, Florida, I do thank you. I listen to Public Enemy still to the day. All the music that they made in the past, I still listen to it. Because I think what they were trying to do is basically raise the climate of consciousness with individuals, and that's what I try to do. I try to do a lot of talking. I try to do a lot of things helping people understand different aspects, different ways to understand what it is that they're doing. Okay, now I'm going to get into the storyline of the show. And today's storyline is going to be children and government. I choose that topic because I listened to a radio show, and I actually was on hold to call into this radio show. I never got a chance to call in. My call dropped. I was actually in travel. And I think that there's a lot of aspects as to what individuals, I've been told that I always bring another way of looking at things, and I don't think that is going to be any different as to where I'm going with this topic today. Children in government. You probably heard it. I've heard it a couple of times. There's this commercial out there, and it says that there's a strong decline in children playing. And what a lot of people would like to associate that with the obesity that we see in our children today. I was listening to this program, and I'm not going to say the name of the program I was listening to, but I was listening to this program, and I kind of wanted to put my two cents in on a situation. And I'm going to give you guys another understanding of this. Okay. With the obesity that we see in children today, it is true. There is obesity on a grand scale with children. Part of it is the fact that we have a lot of, you know, computer games now. A lot of kids, they don't actually get out and play football now. Everybody do a lot of things on these computerized games. They get the Wii console, and the Wii console actually give you a lot of lifelike movement. Even the Xbox and the PlayStation 3, those are probably the three biggest game consoles out there right now. And what a lot of people do is they get their children these games, and what happens is these kids nowadays, they play these games as opposed to actually getting out there exercising like we would like them to. But I personally would like to put in another side of this theory. And the side that I would like to put into this theory is when number one, when children do go out and play today here in 2011, what exactly happens when a child gets hurt? I would like to talk about that. And I also would like to talk about the diets. I would like to talk about the hormones that they put in our foods. Another factor that is contributing to the obesity of our children, of the children today. When I was in school, I remember there was one heavyset individual in my class, one class that I had, and then I had another, this is high school I'm talking about, and then I had another heavyset individual. I had six classes in high school in a day, and I had two individuals that were overweight. Now that is not the case. You can't find, okay, let's do the math. Six classes, let's just say 20 kids in each class. Six classes, six times 20, that's 120 out of 120 students that I had in school in a day, because the classes change, of course, didn't have the same kids in every class. I had two. So you have, two people out of 120, that's kind of less than 1%. We're barely at 2%. But what happens when a child goes out and play? Example, a child goes out and play. She bruises their knee, and then they go to the emergency room. Or they don't go to the emergency room. They bruise their knee. The parent then puts a Band-Aid on his knee, on the knee, and sends them on about. They put some Neosporin on it, puts all the proper things that the parent, supposed to do. Parent may also, the Band-Aids also have these little antiseptic gel built in the Band-Aid. So the parent is doing everything that he or she is supposed to do. Kid goes out and play again. There are some kids that are more high strung than others. Any kids decide they're going to go out there and play some more. I remember when I was a kid, there was this individual named Dwayne. We used to call him Scab, because the guy had all these scabs on his leg from riding bikes. I remember one time I was riding a bike. My chain came off and a pedal spun around, and that metal pedal with those foot grips just dug into my calf, and that messed me up pretty bad. Then there's times when, I'm out playing and we're out on a bike trail, and we riding through the bike trail, and bike trails are something that we make. They don't certify this as a bike trail. It was the side of the park that we drove in. We riding, tree, somebody goes past the tree branch. The next person comes, tree branch comes and whack me in the eye or something. I'm going to take a break right now. When we come back, I'm going to take with parents through. Leave your desk. You'll hear a call.